Canines are our passion. They are our addiction. They are our way of life, right down to the very core. And without them, we would be lost. The canines of this world really are something to behold. They assist us at work. They accompany us at home. And they perform for us in the field. No matter where we go, they are by our side. Canines really are a ride or die. And for that, we are grateful. This podcast will showcase working canines of various breeds and disciplines as we search for those canines and their handlers who are always striving to be the best at what they do. Those who are always grinding. Those who are always pushing the limits. Those who are always dogging. Join us on our adventures as it is sure to be a wild ride. I'm your host, Bryce Matthews.
And I'm your co-host, Stephen Basham.
And This is Semper Dawgin. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Semper Dawgin podcast, guys. I am your host, Bryce Matthews, and tonight we are joined by Mr. Stephen Basham, and he has recruited a fine young gentleman here to join us on the podcast today, Mr. Braxton Will. So, Mr. Basham, how are you, brother?
Doing all right. Long time no hear, buddy.
I know it's been a hot minute since we've been together here on the podcast. We have been slacking.
Yeah. Like we told you guys, sometimes things just take precedence. We get some things going on in our lives. You know, Bryce taking on new endeavors and everything like that. So we're going to get it figured out. I'm in the process of helping him out a little bit and downloading the program so that I can maybe launch some podcasts by myself if I have to try to help out guys. But just stick with us, bear with us. We'll get this figured out, and we'll get some more content to you guys.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's been just absolutely busy with the daggone farm and work and hunting, and it's just a whirlwind right now. We, in other news, the farm, we finally got into a grocery store here in Kokomo. So we have a grocery store now carrying our beef and our goat products.
Which one did you get?
The Sunspot Natural Market. So they have a store there, like a holistic health food store. They've got a store here in Kokomo, and then they got one over in West Lafayette as well. So we're in Kokomo right now. We're gonna see how things go and see, you know, see how well it's received by the public, and if it's if it all goes well, then we'll be expanding over to the West Lafayette store, servicing like the Purdue area. So big things happening for After E, man. We're starting to see some work pay off.
Good deal, buddy. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been fun. And then picked up a new dog. Been hunting him for about a month now. And finally got somebody that wants to push a dog. So we've just been flying under the radar, trying to fly by night. And we'll break him out here in a few weeks. But I think I got a nice one to pack around here. Not that old wheels ain't nice, but finally got somebody else that wants to push one. So we'll see what we can do.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always good to have a nice one, you know, in your back pocket. But talking about nice ones, you know, we got a young fellow on here today that has kind of hit a lick at a hunt. I'll let him kind of tell us about it. But if I'm not mistaken, he's the youngest person to ever get in the top three. Is that correct, Braxton?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
look out. So I'll let you take over, Bryce.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, so we got Braxton Wills here. Most of y'all are going to know him from the 2024 UKC World Championship. Braxton, like I said, he was the youngest person to make the final three there. Hunting a really nice dog there that he didn't have for too long before the hunt there. But let's just rewind it. Let's go back to it. And Braxton, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you come up, how you started hunting, what got you into it, where you're from. And then we'll kind of work into how Basham and I met you. And we'll end on the world hunt. So yeah, that's a good story. That's a good story how we met you. But yeah, Braxton, why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself, buddy?
All right. Well, I was probably about 8 years old. My mom and my stepdad, James Jones, they got together and they got married. My dad, he coon hunted, done it his whole life, and he's the one that kind of got me into it. And I walked along with him on in the hunts forever, just kind of getting, you know the grounds and all that. And I finally, I think I hunted my first cast when I was 10 years old, and it just kind of kicked off from there. I'm from Wyandotte, Oklahoma.
Where is that geographically located in the state?
It is kind of in the northeast corner. I can be in Kansas in 20 minutes, and I'm in the four-state corner, really. I'm 20 minutes from Joplin. I'm sure most people know where that is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So you just started when you were around eight years old. Now, how old are you now?
16.
God bless it. Just got his truck. Just got his license. Watch out, folks. This kid's about to tear down the world.
You know that's true.
Dang it. Look out, boys. He'll be at every hunt. It ain't nowhere safe.
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. So what kind of dogs did you start out running there whenever you first were getting into it? And has that changed any over the years?
No, not really. My dad, he always hunted walker dogs. And it's just what kind of stuff with her. About the only thing I kind of like. And no offense to off-color boys, but it's kind of something I've always stuck with.
Now, I really want to give a big shout out, and I will let you go into how you two met and what he has meant to you and your coon hunting career. But that is your little chauffeur that always takes you everywhere. Talk about him and what he's meant to you.
I'll tell you, Vic, he's a mess. I love him deaf. I'd do anything for him. I've known him my whole life, and we have a little club up here in Seneca, Missouri, and he's always hunted in it. And to be truthfully honest, he's kind of, well, when I was about, I'll put it this way, when I was 12, yeah, I was 12 years old, I've hunted and cast by myself and all that, and I got in some trouble for hunting underage with a guardian, or without a guardian, or someone walking in the cast that's over 18, and PKC, and as soon as that happened, Vic, he found out, and every time I need somebody to walk with me on a cast, he had always been there, and it just kind of started off from there.
So, that's Vic Hurley we're talking about, correct?
Yes, Vic Hurley.
Now, aren't you guys partners on some dogs now?
No, not no more. Really, the only dog we ever partnered on was Joe.
Gotcha. We'll get into Joe in a little bit. But now, tell us here, you know, you're 16, but you hunt harder than most people that I know. How in the world do you hunt as hard as you do and still maintain everything you got going on?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, really, I just think it's me being young and dumb, be truthfully honest. I mean, it gets dark, and I'm one of them persons that can't sit around for too long. It gets dark, I'm outside putting my boots on, getting ready to go. I can't stand in one spot for too long.
Yeah, but coon hunting's not the only thing you do, right? I mean, now, you're homeschooled, correct?
Yes, sir.
So how does that work? Like, what's a day in the life of Braxton look like?
Well, I work a full-time job. I work up in Fayetteville, it's between Bella Vista, Arkansas, and Fayetteville. I work a full-time job, which I work for some boys that own a excavation company. We do septic tanks and clear a lot of lots, and I do that, and I do most of my schoolwork when I get home in the evening. I usually finish that up around 6:30, and sometimes I take a nap, and most of the time, 6-7 nights a week, I go hunting.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you had, you know, a few different irons in the fire there. Now,
yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I said, yes, sir. I keep busy, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so, you know, you started hunting when you were around eight years old. You got hooked up with Vic, and where's that led you here? Have you kind of just always been around the local hunts, or, you know, how did you get to the point where you were making a name for yourself at events like Autumn Oaks and the World Hunt? Like, were you always just, like I said, toting around to these local hunts, or let's just talk about that a little bit.
Oh, man, yes, sir, pretty much. I had that old gyp of mine, Neosho River Queen Bee. She's really is what got me started. I just kind of pushed her around to most of the little hunts and won quite a bit of state money the first couple years, and I got her when I was probably 12, 13, and she was 8 months old when I got her. I take that back. I was 10 years old when I got her. Bob Noble, an old boy that lives over here in Nowata, he was he gave her to me, and she was good, well, and started. She was tree and cone when I got her, and I kept her, and that's just up until the last 2 years, that's what I hunted just pretty much forever, just her.
Yeah.
Which she's the dog that's really gave me the name I have today.
Yep, absolutely. Now, is she still around? You still got her in the pleasure hunter? Or?
Yes, sir. Yeah, she's 8 coming 9. She'd be 9, I want to say, October. I don't hunt her as much as I used to, but I still hunt her a couple times a month. And speak of the fact, Seneca, Missouri, had an RQE this past weekend, and a buddy of mine won something to hunt. He took her, and she, boy, she's fat. I bet she couldn't even probably fit in a 55-gallon drum. She is
got her qualified.
He got her qualified. She
looked good. Isn't that how it works? Hey, did you go to it?
No, sir. No, sir. I was up at a buddy of mine, Bo Kelly's house.
I was going to say, you know how that normally works? You bust your tail hunting every single night. Your dog's looking good. You've got him in shape. You take that dog, you get your butt whooped. And the dog has been sitting in the kennel for 3 months, ain't been touched, goes out there and wins.
Man, I'll tell you, you ought to see her. She couldn't fit in the dog box if she wanted to. She's probably been hunted 10 times in the last year.
Well, I'll tell you what, and we'll get on this a little bit later, but that might actually bode well with her, you know, to stay out of them holes, you know.
You won't have to be bad about her.
You won't have to pull her out with no cheeseburger.
No, that cheeseburger, it won't push her out, that's for sure.
Well, but, we've already went down the rabbit hole, Bash, and you might as well just open this can of worms.
Not yet. We'll get there in just a minute. But obviously, you know, we brought you on the Semper Doggin podcast, and one thing that we always like to do on the Semper Doggin podcast is talk about the evolution of us as dog men. And you got started as an early, early age. So would you just talk about, you know, obviously you're out there night in and night out in the work. What does a night in Braxton Willis training look like? I mean, are you going out there? Do you have multiple dogs that you're cutting loose? What are some traits that a dog that Braxton just can't let go, you know, meaning babbling or backing? Just talk to us about your training efforts.
Oh, man, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, I just have one dog I'm hunting. I just usually hunt just one dog about every night. But just like now, we bought another dog this last Saturday, so I'll be hunting too. But as far as what I like in a dog, I like him to get struck pretty quick. And I like more of a trailing type dog as far as an ambush. I like him to move around good. And that's one thing I can't stand is covering him. I like him to be by himself.
Now, what kind of territory are you hunting in over there? Like, what's the topography look like?
Man, it's one of them deals. Like, right here, probably 10 miles around my house, around Wyandotte, it's straight up and down. It's big hill country, but I can drive 40 minutes into Kansas and be in just crop fields, and I can drive probably an hour from me and be in just river bottoms and pecan bottoms. So, it's one of them deals you can hunt whatever you want. It's kind of nice as far as depending where you're going way off to hunt, you can kind of get them to prepare for whatever the terrain is where you're going.
Yeah, man, I feel
pecan
that.
Bottles. Man, I bet you got some coons up there.
Yes, sir. Just really depends on the time of year, but yeah, we in certain spots you can treat the fire out of them.
Basham, ain't you ever heard Lane Denny talk about treeing them coons in the pecan orchards or pecan groves, yep, whatever you want to call them?
We hunt them all the time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How far you live from Lane and them?
I'd say I probably live 25 minutes from Lane. We don't live far at all.
Oh, good Lord.
He lives in the next town over south of me.
That's nice to have that caliber of dog that you can, you know, get a hold of somebody and go hunting and make sure that you're whatever you're packing around is towing up to the line and can hang with the dogs that are winning.
Yes, sir, it sure is. It's nice to, as far as using it for a measuring stick, it's nice to have.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely it is. So, did you like that, Basham? Absolutely 3 times. It's like I was stuck on repeat.
It was a glitch. We'll blame it on the internet.
Dude, I'm telling you. Hey, this is. I know this is a side note. This is a rabbit hole, but so you know, this new job, I spend a lot of time on the phone talking with people, and I have found myself getting to the point where I will just be sitting there talking, and it's like my brain shuts up and my mouth just keeps going, and I'm like, what are these words coming out that are not even forming a sentence on the other end of this phone? And I'll have to sit there and take a deep breath and tell the customer on the other end of the line, I'm like, hey, I apologize about that, like let me regroup and retry here.
Done turned into a salesman on
him. It's something else.
No Braxton, that's always been Bryce. If his eyes are open, his mouth is moving.
That's true.
He says we've been salesmen since day one.
All you got to do is bat them baby blue eyes, you know, and most of the time get you what you want. Well, it worked up until I got married. Now it don't work as well anymore, but.
That's about the truth. But let's roll right into it. You know, me and Bryce and Braxton kind of have a unique way that we all met. So I drew Braxton. Oh, what year was it, Bryce?
That should have been about 2022, I think.
2022. Yeah, it was either 21 or 22. I drew Braxton at the duel Thursday night at Autumn Oaks. And, you know, we drew out and I guided to a spot over by Brookville Lake, and old Boudreaux put on a clinic, and old Braxton's dog, we couldn't find her. And we walked around these woods forever and a day trying to find this dog.
He kept saying, MIA, that's for sure.
He kept saying, man, she's right here. I said, man, she must have got in that darn lake and swam across the lake, because there's nowhere around here, you know, that she could be. And Braxton, won't you fill us in on where we found this dog?
Well, man, that's just a nightmare even thinking about it. But, well, she was on the side of whatever lake that was, Brookville Lake. She's in a big old, what do y'all call them down there, drain tiles or whatever it is, a big old hole.
That was just a straight up creek bank hole.
It's a big old creek bank hole. When I'm telling you, you could fit a semi at, you could probably fit two of them. Man. This thing was massive. It's probably all every bit of 20 foot long. And this dumb son buck I was hunting, her dumb butt had to go to the very end of it. And boy, we went, we dug and dug and dug. When that phrase they use, you can dig to China. I bet if you could, we tried.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So I'm sitting here at Autumn Oaks. I've done won my cast, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting
with
on
old Jed.
Yeah, I was hunting Jed. That's with the year. Jed. Yeah, that's your Jed and I made a run at the world. It all started right there at Autumn Oaks, and so that would have been 2022. But anyways, so I'm sitting here waiting on a call from Basham, like trying to figure out how his cast went or what went down or whatever, and I just wasn't getting nothing from him. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, I should have heard from him by now. And he finally calls me, and he's like, hey, are you in bed yet? And I'm like, no, not yet. I've been waiting around to figure out what happened to you. And at this point, it's got to be pushing 1 a.m, something like that. One.
It is every bit 1 or 2 a.m.
1 or 2.
No, it was every bit 2, almost 3 probably at that point.
Yeah, so Basham calls me and he's like, hey, I got this young kid down here. I think Braxton, you were probably, 13 at the time. If you're 16 now, you're probably 13.
Yeah, I've been 13.
Yeah. And Basham's like, I got this young kid down here. He said, and his dog's in a hole. He's like, can you bring me a shovel? And I'm like, yeah, I can probably scrounge one up and do that. And so I'm like, well, send me a pin. They were 40 minutes from me.
A mile from the road.
It was every bit of 30, 40-minute drive to get there. And then they're a mile from the road. And I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. So, you know, being the good friend that I am, strapped up my boots that I'd already took off. And if y'all know me, I don't like to do that. Once I'm comfortable, I don't want to get uncomfortable. Strapped up them boots, and I hike across this daggone bean field, down the edge, through a woods, finally get to them.
Through a cutover.
Oh my God, it was just miserable. And when I tell y'all, I like Braxton is not exaggerating. This dog was on the absolute side of the lake, up in this up in this hole, and you could fit your whole body. I mean, at one point, Basham's whole body was in this hole trying to find this dog and hear this dog. And you could see her right there at the very end of it, but she would not come out of there. And I mean, we did everything. Like Braxton said, we tried to dig to China twice. We come from the top. We come from the side. We come from every daggone which angle you could think of and could not get that dog out of that hole. And then Basham.
I think Basham had
a great idea.
Well, I think this whole thing is how Bryce explains this next part and how we flag some people down.
Yeah. So, like I said, y'all, at this point, it's 3 o'clock in the morning at least. And
this point, it's every bit 4 or 5, probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably closer to 4 or 5 at this time. It's close enough that old boy was fishing.
Yeah, yeah. These old boys, they come out there. They got their boat, and they're just trolling around real slow. I'm assuming, like Braxton said, trying to get on that morning bite. And by golly, if we don't freaking start back, or Basham's like, well, I want to see if they have anything in that boat. So we take our coon lights, and we start flicking them on and off and on and off and on and off, trying to get their attention until finally, this boat kind of trolls over to us, and we kind of explain to him what's going on. We're like, hey, y'all got any hot dogs or any bait or anything on there that we can use to get this dog out of this hole? And this old boy, he looks at us, and he goes, buddy, the only thing I got left here is about a half eight and Wendy's cheeseburger. And Basham said, great, I'll take it. So Basham finds a stick that's got a fork on the end of it, and he stabs it through this half-eaten Wendy's cheeseburger, and he crawls up in this hole, and he's trying to get this dog to come out and lure her out with a cheeseburger, and she was not having it, dude.
She was done. She was laying right there at the end of the hole, and I tell you, I think it would have made us feel better if she was stuck.
Yeah, it made me feel better. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. She wasn't stuck.
She was sitting there just staring at us.
And she could look at us. I mean, she's probably 18 inches from the end of Basham's arm, probably another 18 inches where we needed to get to get our hands on her, and right. Just could not do it. And
there were some big roots because we were in the side of the bank, and there's some huge roots, and we just could not get to her.
No, you just couldn't. And she's sitting there staring at us, and we're looking at Braxton, and we're like, what can you do here? And he's like, man, I don't know, I've tried everything. And he's like, I mean, he's sitting there being nice to her, and then he's yelling at her, and then we're doing everything we can think of to get this dog to crawl to us 18 inches, and she just won't do it. So, Braxton, why don't you take it from there?
Braxton makes an adult decision at this point, being 13 years old.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Braxton.
Well, first, I'll start off. I'll tell you what made me the maddest. We got that cheeseburger. We put it on the stick. Boy, we jacked her and jacked her. We couldn't get her to budge. But, boy, the man, as soon as that cheeseburger fell off the stick about halfway through that hole, that thumb buck came and ate that cheeseburger. She went right back to the end of it. Boy, talk about make a fella mad. But, no, we jacked around. We tried getting her out. I mean, she wasn't budging one bit. I don't know if she was just stupid, dumb, or what, but she wouldn't come one foot. That's all she had to come, really. It was 12, like Bryce said, probably 18 inches. But it got to about, it's daybreak when we finally quit trying. And I finally just decided, just screw her. She'll either come out or she'll die in that hole. So me and Vic, who went with me and Vic that year? Me and Vic and Connor Drew.
Oh, was there someone else in the truck?
Yes, sir, yeah. Me, Vic, and Connor Drew went that year. We went out there about noon that next day, and Vic has one of them big antennas you can hook a Garmin up to. We're just driving around all them back roads on that public ground, you know. And we pick her up. She is, when I say she's ever bit a, probably 5 miles from where that hole was, she finally got hot. Boy, when she went to get out of that hole, she punched her ticket. Now she's just running down the side of that lake, you know. And we pull up, we finally get close to her. We had her picked up. She's probably 500 yards off the closest road. And we pull up to this old man's house, and I hop, me and that Connor boy, we hop out of the truck, and we're going to go get her. Well, we're walking down this road to go get her. Talk about creepy. This old man has baby dolls and just all kinds of stuff hanging from trees just on this road we're walking down. And we get down the lake, and there she is. Just, boy, she's just sitting down there, sitting all pretty, and thinking, well, boy, it's about finally time I seen you. And we got back to the truck, and I guess that old boy that we stopped at his house and Vic was talking to, boy, I guess he gave old Vic an earful. He said, boy, this place is a dangerous place, he's telling us, and all kinds of stuff. Vic said, let's get her in here and get the heck out of Dodge.
Baby dolls hanging from the tree.
Oh, woo! I'm telling you, I bet in probably a 500-yard walk on that road, I bet we seen every bit of just old creepy baby dolls and just, it's crazy. If it's not, you'd have seen me on the way out of there.
Yeah, that's how Bash and Braxton and I all got to kind of know each other real well. Is we spent several hours with each other, taking turns inside this hole trying to get this dog out that eventually just told us all to kick rocks and pound sand. She wasn't coming out of that hole while we were standing there.
Yeah, that's for dang sure. We did get some good quality time.
Hey, I tell you what. Hey, at least I can say this. We seen a dog put on one hell of a clinic that night, didn't we, Braxton?
Yeah, we did. At that point, I was just along for the ride.
I think everybody was. They just wanted to see what he could put up. Yeah, he put on a clinic that night.
Yes, remember, we was just along for the ride. Yep. There wasn't no coming back, that's for sure. If I was smart enough, I'd have just kept mine on the lead when I knew I was beat.
Yeah, but, man, you get in those hunts, and especially UKC, you know this. UKC, it's harder to get out in those big hunts because, I mean, all it takes, it takes one bad tree where everybody else is on that tree and it's old slick tail and boom, you're the winner. And so, and it's hard to get out of the way. It really is.
Yes, it is. That's for dang sure. It just takes one tree.
Nope. But that rolls us right into, obviously, the big win that you had. It starts out, for those of you that don't know, to even get qualified to go to the UKC World, you have to go to a regional qualifying event. Tell us about the dog. Let's start off back at the beginning. Tell us what dog you hunted at the World Hunt and where you got him qualified at.
Well, it was a dog called Spring River Joe that got, we mentioned, about taking me to Autumn Oaks, Vic Hurley. I got him, me and Vic was going pleasure hunting one night, and Vic bought Joe when he was about 18 months old, and I kind of handled him for him just throughout some hunts. He always owned him, and man, I've always liked that dog, and it's the beginning of June, me and Vic was going pleasure hunting. And Vic, he's that old fart. He's getting up there in age. And
you got to love Vic.
You couldn't ask for a better guy.
Guys, you cannot beat Mr. Vic. Mr. Vic is top notch. If you've never met him, you're missing out. Mr. Vic's top notch guy.
Yes, sir. But we was going pleasure hunting one night in June. I was looking at my female, my queen female. She was in heat. And I was wanting to go to PKC Youth Nationals, so I didn't have nothing to hunt. So I asked Vic if I could hunt Joe up at Youth Nationals, and we kind of worked the deal out, and he pretty much just gave me half that dog if I just hunt him, and put him in hunts. And I went to Youth Nationals, and we won a couple early rounds, but we didn't just do a whole lot of good. Then we went, let's see, where did I get him qualified at? It was Clint, Missouri. It's actually the last RQE of the year. That's the God's honest truth. We went to Clint, Missouri, the last RQE of the year. And that's where I got him qualified at, Clint, Missouri. I was high-scoring dog with 675 plus.
That sounds like old Jed. I got him qualified the very last RQE. Yep, that year that you took him.
Yep, but sometimes you just got to get in there.
Oh yeah, go ahead. 675. Okay.
So what happened after that? So you get him in there at the RQE, and then you go. You got to go to his zones. Which zone did you go to?
I went to what zone was that? It was Sedalia. I couldn't remember if it was at Kirksville or Sedalia. They had it Sedalia that year. Friday night, I didn't do no good. Boy, he looked good. It was just one of those deals that came down if I could have caught a break or not, and the breaks just what my luck wasn't on my side. Saturday night, he was one of them dogs. He liked a field edge. He was a hot-nosed dog, and if he had a field edge, he was usually going to look pretty good, and that's just about always hunting in Saturday night. And I treed a coon for $225 right out of the truck. And I treat a coat. I think four singles that cast. I made it in with a single high score of 850 that night, and that's just kind of how I got to the top 100. Our single cast win.
Heck yeah, you can't ask much more for that. So before we get into the top 100 and your big run there, fill us in a little bit more about Joe. What was his pedigree? What was his age? Where'd he come from? Let's learn a little bit more about the dog.
All right. Well, Joe was out of Cheyenne Cummings' redneck backwoods shack dog, and to be the God's honest truth, I couldn't tell you what the female was. I know she was bone collector bred, but Vic bought Joe when he was 18 months old from a guy that lived about an hour and a half south of me in a little town called Little Kansas named Eric Stanley. He raised him from a puppy, and Vic had him, and between me and that Connor Dury boy I mentioned earlier, we just kind of swapped hunting for Vic and just, you know, a couple little UKC hunts and go to Winter Classic and Autumn Oaks and just stuff like that. And then nobody really hunted him for about a year. And he was 4 when I got him. Yeah, it had been 4 coming 5. And, you know, Joe was a coon chur. He was one of them you had to stay on top of, but he was a hot-nosed dog. He liked just one certain coon. He liked treeing, and he's good about staying by himself. And he was just one of those dogs. He may look like crap pleasure hunting, but boy, as soon as you put him in a cast, it's like if it came down to it, he found a way to win.
You can't beat that
dog.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what that dog was. He's just one of them dogs that knew he was in a cast and just got real competitive.
Yeah, Buddy, I'm going to be honest, Buddy's that way. You take him pleasure hunting, he's just typical. You know, he's about average. You know, he'll go out, tree a coon, nothing special. A lot of times, heck, he'll meet you at the truck. But you put that damn dog in a freaking competition hunt, and it's just like something clicks in his head, and he knows what he's doing. You know, he just seems to bring out the best in him.
Yeah, Joe's the same way. He was a coon chur just all around, but he was just mediocre pleasure hunting. But boy, as soon as you tied him up at a hunt, you could tell that dog, boy, he got where he was wired for 40. He's acting like a 1-year-old again.
Absolutely, man. Those are fun ones to hunt. Like whenever you can just see it come out in them, like they just get that competitive edge and you can see it in their eyes. And those are fun for me. You know, I like those dogs that they know when to shine. So, let's see here. The world the top 100 this year was over in Illinois. What town was that even in this year? Marshall, right?
Yes, Marshall, Illinois.
Marshall, Illinois. So, walk us through your run there at the top 100. There, how'd you make it to the top 20? Was it top 28? I think that's what it is.
I think that's how it worked. I'd be honest with you, I couldn't even remember.
So, you know, how'd your cast go the first night?
Well, the first night, what would that have been, on Thursday?
Yep.
Yeah, that'd Thursday, been Thursday night. Yep. We cut loose. And the bad thing is, about 2 nights before we was going to the top 100, I was pleasure hunting Joe. He ran probably the biggest locust thorn I've ever seen right up his front right foot. He's about half crippled going out there. It was just one of them things already in for it. You might as well go try it. But,
yep.
Thursday night, let's see, I couldn't even tell you who I drew. It's been so long ago, I have the world's worst memory. But
you're young, you're supposed to have a good memory.
I don't know about that saying. I'm the world's worst, I'm telling you. I forget my name half the time. But I want to say I treat a cone right out of the truck. Joe was pretty good about getting struck. He was an honest strike dog, but he was just one of them deals. He's pretty good about getting struck, but I treat a cone right out of the truck for $225. I can't remember one person I drew that night. who did I draw? But besides the point, I want to say I treat a cone and treat a den, and I think that's all I got done come Thursday night.
But it got you through.
True.
Yeah, it got me through. Yes, sir.
So that's
not a lot of action.
No, it was. I think we made 3 trees that whole 2-hour cast.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It may have been 90 minutes or 2 hours, whatever one it was. But
yeah, it's 2 hours. We had a pretty eventful night that night. Wheels looked pretty good. Wheels jammed 3 of them on him and punched his ticket to the top. I think it's top 28. Isn't that what it is, Basham?
Yeah, it was.
That's what it was. Top 28.
Yeah, so Wheels punched his ticket. So Braxton and I are sitting there. We got the handlers meeting the next day. And what's that feeling like, you know, knowing that you're the youngest guy there? You're sitting, they got everybody put together in a little square, and you got Alan Gingrich and Trevor Wade kind of going over the rules and the formalities, and they give you your new light. And what kind of emotions are going through your head there?
Man, I'll tell you, I was real excited, and I don't know if I was just more nervous or excited. It's just one of them deals, it's kind of a combination of both, but I can tell you I was nervous come that get dark. I was pretty dang nervous.
I can promise you, Braxton, that you are not more nervous than Mr. Bryce Matthews.
Shoo, come on now.
I'm gonna tell you how this man gets before a competition hunt. I mean, he gets to shaking and nervous in his boots. And, I mean, he almost needs a little prescription medicine just to kind of calm him down.
No, I ain't that bad. But, I knew as soon as I got to the top 28, it was just one of those deals. Win, lose, or draw, I was just glad to have the chance to get that far.
Yep,
absolutely. Hey, let me go on a rabbit hole right here. This is funny how you talk about that, Basham. I mean, so I get like that way. Anything competitive, right? I mean, anything competitive, like when it comes down to the brass tacks and gets to the finals, I'm like just wound up, wound for sound. So this new job, every day is a competition, right? I mean, we don't get paid unless we're selling campers. Commission-based job. Every day is a competition, and we got 6 salesmen in the room, and every one of us wants to be top dog in that room, right? And of course, me, I come in there, and I like to have fun, and I'm just, you know, a little exuberant and over the top, and I've been giving this one guy a lot of crap. You know, his name's Cam. He's been there for 3 years. I keep telling him, I said, Cam, I'm coming for you. So last month, he beat me by 1/2 of a camper, and I know you ask, how can you sell half a camper, split deals, blah, blah, blah. He beats me by 1/2, right? So I told him this month, I'm like, May's my month. Today, I got this lady. I've been working with her for 1.5 months, darn near since I started there, on trying to find the right camper for her and get it down. And it comes down to the brass tacks today, and I'm waiting on her to send her deposit. And I am not joking when I tell you, I'm sitting there in the chair, and my leg's going about 1,000,000 miles an hour, and I start sweating almost a little bit, and I got all jittery, and I was right in the middle of trying to eat lunch, and I got where I couldn't even eat. I couldn't eat one more bite. I just had to put it away. Dude, I'm telling you, until that lady, and it was taking her forever. It took her like 40 minutes to send over that deposit. Until she sent that deposit over, dude, I was a daggone nervous wreck.
I bet you was up in that room just pacing back and forth, man.
Oh, my gosh. It's like that. I'm telling you, anything that has to do with the competition, you get me down to the finals, and I just fall apart, man. It's bad.
But it ain't even just the finals, you know. Since we're already down this rabbit hole, I remember a certain legacy hunt down at friggin' Morgantown where me and Bryce were on the road for like 2 or 3 days all the way down to Arkansas. And we had this thing where we were going to make it all the way back for this legacy hunt. And we're in the first round of the legacy hunt, and he's hunting a rebel. And Braxton, we walk up this little road, and we cut the dogs. And old rebel goes in there, and he barks nothing. He barks nothing. He barks again, and the judge is like, is somebody going to make a call? And Bryce is just sitting there, not doing nothing. And he barks again. He barks again. And finally, Bryce strikes him. I go, Bryce, what the heck are you doing? He goes, be quiet. I'm nervous.
I was too. Hey, we ended up winning that whole daggone thing.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But he was like, I'm nervous. I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth.
That's when I like first started hunting PKC, man. I was like, it was a $100 entry fee, man. I was like, over here sweating bullets.
Yeah, it was those $100 legacy hunts. Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Back out of the rabbit hole. So, top 22. We're going into Friday night.
Dude, 28.
So yeah, top 28. You're right. We're going into Friday night here. Can you recall your Friday night events?
Nah, same thing. I couldn't tell you who I drew. I may be able to go and look real quick. Just give me 1 second.
Oh, but Lord.
I'm telling you, I'm terrible at it.
Now, you're good. Go just kind of give us a little synopsis, you know, if you can remember what the dog did.
Because we got to hunt an early round and a late round Friday night.
It had been early round. Well, I remember I drew. Did it go top 28, then top 9?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Early round, it was me, Nikki Hale, Downtime. Who else was in that cast? But
I mean, that right there already says a lot.
Yeah. But anyway. Well, we cut loose. Joe and down. Yeah, does he call him down or down time? He calls him time, don't he?
I think it's time, yeah.
Time.
Yeah, it's time. Anyways, Joe and time, they scorched a cone across this bean field. Time strikes for 100. I strike for 75. I couldn't tell you how the mother boy struck. But anyway, then Joe and time slammed a cone right out of the truck, probably 5 minutes right out of the our 5 minutes in the cast. Time has 200 plus. I have 175. I had 150. I take that back. I covered on it. I had 150. And we recut off that. Joe and Time, they get split up. I treat Joe, and boy, he was way left-handed. Joe gets treated on another coon for 150. And I want to say is a black dog in the cast. That black dog gets treated, has a coon. And then Time gets treated and has a den. And then we got to where we crossed the major highway down there. I can't remember what highway it was, but we ended up calling Time out. We went to another spot, and I think there's 10 minutes left. And it come down to if I can't remember the God's honest score, but if Time had a cone, if I didn't get treated, Time had a cone, he won. But we cut loose. Joe trees a cone, about 300 yards in front of us. And after that, it was just one of them deals that kind of just sewed up the cast.
Heck yeah. So, see, I mean, you just beat Nikki Hale with Downtime and another dog who ain't no slouch. You know, obviously they've made it to the semifinals at that point. So,
yes.
Yep.
I mean, like Downtime this weekend, he just won 35,000, you know, this weekend. You know, that dog is a nice dog. Mm-hmm. But, man, like,
for a winner.
What kind of emotions are you feeling at this point? Like, top 9's a big deal.
Man, I'll tell you, as soon as I got in that truck with Vic, talk about a nervous breakdown. I got so nervous. I pulled one of them Bryce Matthews moments. I started shaking, pacing. You'd have thought I was trying to sell a camper.
I tell you what, Braxton, you want to see it done right, go back and look at Bryce. I believe it's on Bryce's Facebook page, the year that me and him got in with Spot, and we're coming out of the woods. You know, we had drawn
Kurt Aaron.
Oh no, that was early round. I'm talking about whenever we drew O'Henry Kidd and them.
Yeah,
and won in the final 28. And man, the hype man was on point. I mean, he was hitting those rap tunes and going Facebook Live, and he was all, there was some pep in his step.
Yeah, man, I get amped up, like, one way or the other. It's highs and lows. There's just no middle ground.
He says, we got to get hyped up now.
That's right.
Yeah. So here we are. You're headed back. You win your cast. Who was the first phone call that you made to tell them that you were in the final nine of the UKC World?
Man, it was my mom and dad. They was just me and Vic went out there, and they was up waiting on me. I think they was as nervous as I was, just waiting. They didn't have no play-by-play or anything yet on the top 28, you know. So I made that phone call, and you'd have thought somebody got shot. They all started jumping, hollering, screaming. I think they were just excited as I was.
That's awesome, man. You got a nice support system, you know. I mean, you got people pulling for you in your corner. So we go to the top.
You're blessed, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you got to stay that way. So you're going into the top nine. At this point, I mean, we're racking up the dollar signs, you know.
House money at this point.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember your late round on Friday night?
No, not really. It's been so long. I've been in so many casts since then. I couldn't even tell you what I was in two or three hunts this past week, and I couldn't even tell you what happened in them. But, I couldn't even tell you who I drew.
Did the dog look good?
Do what?
Did the dog look good?
No, he looked horrible. I do remember that. He did. He looked like straight dog crap, that cast. He looked horrible.
So how did you pull off a win?
Dang it.
He still treed a coon. I want to say I treed a coon. I think I made one tree that whole cast. I remember that one old boy. The boy from Louisiana, I don't remember his name or what he was hunting, but he treed a coon. And then he ended up treeing a slick. I mean, it was one of them deals that I treed a coon about 15 minutes left in the hunt. And that boy was winning. I had 200 plus. I do remember that. And that boy treed a coon for 225. And I think there's probably 8 minutes left. His dog came treed. And they started the stationary on him. And it was one of them deals. If he had a coon, it didn't really matter. If he had a slick, that's really the only way I could have won. I was so far out of pocket at the time. And we got in there, boy, I was talking about lucky. That tree was slicker in the gut, and that's what made me advance to the top three.
Goo, man. So
and that is luck at that time of year.
That's called catching the breaks, because the leaves are still on the trees.
Leaves still on. And
yeah, that's called catching the breaks, and that's what it takes to – you know, I don't care what anybody says. You can have the best dog in the world. You can have the best handler backing them. But if you don't catch a break now and then in these big hunts, you ain't going to win it. It's just not going to happen. There's too many rounds to go through to not catch a break somewhere.
Yep.
So, Friday night, you just advanced to the top three. Did you sleep at all going into Saturday?
I don't think I slept 5 minutes between Friday and Friday night come Saturday. I don't think I slept one time. And poor old big boy, I kept him up. I don't think he slept at all either. I was bouncing off the walls. I was so excited.
What do you do? Bouncing like, what do you wall. What do you do in the downtime? So you hunt Friday night, late round, and you've got to wait around until all day Saturday until they come in and they kind of do a little press conference type deal with you guys in the top three, sit you down, do a little recording in the podcast and with UKC and Allen and all them. And how do you kill the time? How do you stay calm, like, in that time?
Man, I'll tell you, I wasn't staying calm. It was just one of them deals. I laid down probably. It was real late that morning. I don't think me and Vic made it back to the motel room till like 7:30 that morning. It was real late. And we got back, and it was just kind of one of them deals. You're so tired you want to go to bed, but in the same chance, you're so excited. I laid down, and boy, I kept old Vic up all day. I was just laying there talking.
And that's hard for you to do because you're not a man of very many words.
Nope. No. Definitely not.
So that's what I'm saying. For you to keep him up talking, I mean, you must have been jacked up.
Oh, I'm telling you, yeah, I was pretty jacked up. It's just like you said, I ain't one to talk a whole bunch. I was like no babbling dog. I didn't shut up that whole day.
You know, here you are. Up.
That's for sure.
Here you are. You're what at this time? 15?
Yes, sir. I was 15.
15. Going into the final three of the UKC World. You know, I think we've been very vocal, Bryce and I, about just wanting to win that big one. You know, just that one big one to basically kind of hang your hat on and say, hey, I did it. And Braxton's 15 years old, and he's one cast away from being crowned. And this is just my opinion, especially if you're talking about breeding rights. The UKC world is the crown jewel of all the coon hunting.
It's a big one.
It's the biggest.
Yes. You know,
there's more prestige with that than anything else.
And that's what I'm getting at. You know, if you talk to some of the bigger guys, you know, J.R. Gray, you know, ask him where he got his big start. It was winning the world with Willie. And so, you know, I think when you're talking about the prestige of it, yes, there's hunts out there, you know, Tournament of Champions, PKC World, that pay more. But I think the prestige of the UKC World, there's none of them that hold that weight. Just because the amount of people afterwards that want that world championship title on that pedigree.
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. So
yeah, I agree with you.
So you're going in there. You're already locked in. The worst you can finish is third. And man, I got the pleasure of walking along on that cast. And you know, unfortunately, Trevor Wade, his grandmother had passed away there earlier in the week, and he had to go attend her funeral. So I was very honored when Trevor came up to me whenever he had to leave and asked me to go up there and kind of fill in as the infield reporter back there for the live show. So. You know, I got the pleasure of going out there on the cast and getting to hang out with yourself and, you know, just watch those dogs work and see what it's like and what it feels like to be on a final cast. And Casey Maggard, and I forget the other gentleman's name, but super nice guy.
Randy Fickens.
That's it. That's it. Randy Fickens.
Randy Fickens.
Yep, because he used to be a Redbone man, I think, if everybody was telling me about it.
Yeah, he used to be a diehard Redbone guy.
Yeah, and he was hunting a walker dog. Yep, that's right. So, yeah, it was just really cool to go out there on that cast. And I will say that, you know, for as big of a hunt as it was and a big moment, all three of you guys conducted yourselves just in an utmost top tier fashion way. I mean, y'all called your dogs for what they were doing. There wasn't arguing. There wasn't no griping. There wasn't no questioning the judge on anything. It was just call your dog for what you do and let the cards fall where they may.
Yes, sir. You get to that point, it's just kind of one of them deals. You just kind of let the cards fall, and you just kind of go with the flow. What happens at that point happens.
Yeah, and, you know, old Joe, I mean, he at one point, you know, he got almost out of pocket, you know, and I was a little worried that you weren't going
to
get him.
I was lucky to hear
him. Yeah, I was a little worried that you weren't going to get him treed in there because he – like you said earlier, he likes to run them edges, and boy, did he find one, and he took her on. He packed his bags and hit the road.
Yeah, I think when I treat him in, he was he's a good mile and a half when I treat him in. I don't think we'd have ever heard him when I got on top of that hill.
Yeah, it was interesting. So, I mean, now let's see here. Him and that Randy's dog, they were together right out of the truck, if I remember right. Because yes, Casey's dog treated right coon by herself.
Casey was split about 100 yards. He had a cone.
Yep.
And me and Randy's dog was split left-handed on a big old oak tree, big den tree.
Yep. Yep. So Casey's up, and I think he took first strikes. I think he's up 2.25.
Yes. I struck for 75. I had 220 or 200 on a den, and Randy had 150. I had 200 circle. He had 150 circle.
Yep.
And then didn't she go missing after that?
No.
Oh.
Randy's dog did. What? No, no,
no, no,
no. No, Casey, she didn't really go missing.
Lacey did.
Yeah, Lacey, she did.
Lacey went to MIA.
She did. She kind of pulled a deal like Braxton's dog pulled at Autumn Oaks.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really the dog's fault. Casey was having a Garmin antenna issue.
Oh, gotcha. I knew there was something. Casey didn't have her on his Garmin whatsoever.
Yeah, he was having an antenna and a collar issue. It's not that she blew out of pocket. So what had happened kind of is Braxton, like you said, Joe got treed in, and I don't want to be stealing your thunder here, Braxton, so you can cut me off at any time.
You're good.
But, you know, Joe got treed in, like Bracken said, over a mile and a quarter in one direction, and Lacey went the opposite direction. So by the time we get to Joe, she's over 2 miles away. So she didn't really get out of pocket from where she was at. It's just we took the cast away from her.
We just walked her out of here.
Correct, correct. And we go in there, and Braxton, why don't you tell us about that tree we walked all the way in there to?
Well, we got in there. He was treed on a big old tree. It had vines going everywhere. We shined and shined and shined. I think that when I found that cone, it was probably, I bet we didn't have probably 30 seconds left on shine time. And it was actually Bryce that found it in his thermal. He found him. So, boy, as soon as everybody got over there and seen him, I bet there's everybody just probably 10 seconds left on shine time.
It was right there. It was a nail biter. It wasn't much time left.
No. It was either do or die. That's for sure.
And that was one of those situations where, had UKC not passed the rule where you could use a thermal, you weren't finding that coon.
Uh-uh.
I mean, he was tucked away, that's and he wasn't looking for nothing.
Dang it. Dang it.
Yeah, it was tough. So we pull off there, and then at that point, I believe we had to go back to the last place that we heard dogs, because we walked out of hearing. Am I right there, Braxton, or am I missing something?
No, if I remember right, didn't Randy just tree his dog? Didn't Randy tree what was her name?
Yes, you're right.
He treed his female walking into Joe, because I remember she was up that creek bank about 500 behind Joe.
Yep,
we recut Joe. Fergie dog scored her.
The dog was called Fergie.
Yeah, Fergie.
Yeah, so that's right. So he got treed in on the way to Joe. We pull off Joe. We got to go to Fergie. And Fergie, I believe, took a minus there. I think.
Yes, sir. Yeah, she was. No. She may have. I can't. No, she didn't. Was it?
She didn't tree a coon. It was either a circle or a minus.
No, she was on a big old dent or a big old sycamore tree. I remember shining it in that bottom. She's in a big old sycamore tree.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then
that's when Casey heard Lacey way through yonder as soon as we pulled off that tree.
Yeah, because, okay, sure. You're right. So Fergie was up on a hill. We had to climb a big old hill to get up to her, and that's where we that's where we did a live update. We pulled off that tree, and as soon as Fergie shut up, we're on top of the hill. That's when Casey could hear Lacey treed in there. And that was right.
Okay. Yes. Lacey.
But Joe was treed again, too, whenever we got to the top of that hill, wasn't he, Braxton?
Yeah, Casey treed Lacey, and as soon as he treed Lacey, Joe was only about 100 yards deeper where he treed that first cone, and I treed him back in.
So this is where, and Braxton, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, and don't anything that I say here, don't take it wrong, but I was questioning what you did in this situation.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, because when we're shining Fergie's tree, you could not hear Lacey very well, but you could hear Joe hammering in there.
Yes.
He's got a big booming mouth, so you know that dog is treed. Now, Braxton is down, because Lacey treed a coon right out of the truck at 225. He treed, you know, Joe wasted his strike points on the circle tree at the very beginning of the hunt. So he's struck back in for, what, a quarter?
Yes,
sir. I think struck back in for a quarter and a coon. So he's at 150 plus. So in Braxton, you can tell me if I'm thinking wrong here and why you did what you did. But you can hear Joe in there treeing. So what I thought was going to play out was we pull off the tree, Braxton trees Joe, we go to Joe, and then if Lacey is heard, then Casey trees her. But that's not what happened.
Yeah.
We pull off, and you can hear Joe, and you can hear Lacey. And this is where I believe, in my opinion, just a little bit of experience got Casey. He was two steps ahead of you. He was already playing out in his head exactly what had to happen. He knew he had to get to his dog and get treed in there or run the risk of walking away from her again. Because if we walk away from her and you've got a coon, you're going up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So it's that's just one of those moments. I was kind of like you. I was so nervous. I really didn't know what was going on. I really wasn't using my head.
Yep. As soon as we pull off, old freaking Casey Maggard trees are in. And it wasn't 20 seconds after that, Braxton trees Joe. So now we've got to go to Casey first. Casey and Lacey. We got to go to them.
And
Braxton took off to Joe. So it's all, well, it doesn't really all depend on Casey's tree. because if she's got a circle and he's got a circle, then she still wins. But we got to go to Casey's tree. And I walk in there with him. And, boy, you talk about nervous wreck, too. Casey was – he was huffing and puffing getting in there. I mean, we were moving. We were cutting brush trying to get in there to that tree. And we get in there, and we start the shine time, and it didn't take 10 seconds. We got out into a field edge, and we looked up there, and that coon looked at us double barrel, boy. I mean, he's just looking at us two eyes down. And Casey, yes. You know, he just, I mean, come apart. You know, he just won the world hunt. And at that point, it didn't matter. We didn't need to walk to Braxton, you know, because he couldn't catch him. But Braxton, looking back at it, would you have done anything different there?
Yeah, I'd have done exactly what you said. I'd have treated Joe while we were shining that tree and just hoping we'd have pulled off that tree. And I could have started walking towards Joe quick enough and just kept Casey out of here and a Lacey.
Yep. Yep, that's how it played out in my head, too. But I wasn't a handler in there. I was just a fly on the wall. Basham, you kind of got a confused look on your face. What's going through your head here?
So what place did Braxton place?
Second.
Oh, he placed second. Oh, so he did get reserved.
Yeah.
See, this whole time, I started off by saying he got third.
No, I didn't. I think you just said he was in the top three.
Nah, I said that he got third at the UKC World. So, no. Yeah, I was wrong. He got reserved world champion.
I got second world champion male.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
But like I said, had the cards played out just a smidge bit differently, we might have a different tone to this podcast. But I was just curious, Braxton. Like I said, I haven't got a chance to talk to you since all that went down. I was just curious what was going through your brain because I know the cards that I had in my head, and they just didn't go the way that I would have done it. Now, had I been in your shoes, I might have done something different.
Yeah, it's one of them deals, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but now that I look at it, just one of them deals, I'd have done exactly how you played it out. I'd have tried and got Joe treed in while we were shining Randy's tree and just tried and walk Lacey out of here.
Yep.
And, yeah, got recut, or at least just kept him out of here, and I don't remember if there's enough time for me to get recut or not.
Yeah, it would have been close. It would have been close for sure, but, man, nonetheless, I mean, you go out there with you and your old partner, Vic, you guys make the trip up from your home state all the way up to Illinois, 15 years old, reserve world champion male. I mean, what an accomplishment. Like, what an accomplishment.
Definitely. I think we're all striving to even hit a lick like that.
Now,
yes, sir.
Now I don't want to.
That's a blessing, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. I don't want to end this podcast on a sad note, but there's just something I just got to talk about because it seems to be a curse to go back. You'll know where I'm talking about with this. There seems to be a curse to win the world hunt or come daggone close to winning the world hunt. A lot of these dogs, there's a high percentage of them that once they win that world, for some reason, they hit a streak of bad luck after that, and a lot of times they don't live much longer after that for whatever reason it is.
That's the dang shit. Joe, he struck a pretty bad dose of bad luck. I think he died probably 2 months later of the world hunt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't very long afterwards, and I see you posting, you know, rest in peace to Joe. So what happened?
Well, it's just one of them deals. I truly don't know what happened. I laid him up for a little bit. I didn't hunt him for probably about 2 months after the world hunt. And then I got him out. I hunted him 3 or 4 nights. I went to just a PKC $30 hunt in Girard, Kansas. That's right when I got my license. It was December when I went up there. I think I didn't have my license for a week. And I drove up to Girard, Kansas. It's about an hour from me. And I hunted him in that hunt. I bet there's every bit of it. Snow was on the ground. It was in the negatives. It was every bit of -8 or -9. And we hunted. Joe never made a tree. I don't even think I got struck in that whole cast. I took him back to Vic's. Well, Vic, he leaves for work about every morning, about 5-6 o'clock that morning. Vic went out there, and Joe was perfectly fine in the pen, just wired 440 like he is every day, you know. And Vic called me as soon as he got home from work, and he said, "Braxton, this dog ain't going to make it very long." He was laying in his pen just coughing up blood. And as soon as Vic made that call, and Joe, he died before I ever even got off the phone.
Really?
That's just one of them deals. I really don't know what happened, but
I just don't get it because you can look, there's a – you can go back through the history books, and I mean, I've only been around this sport for about 10 years, and just in my time of being around, it just seems like, man, if you win the World Hunter, you get real close, like, there's a lightning bolt getting ready to strike somewhere, and I don't know why that is.
It's like it's a curse.
Yes, it is. You know, it's just, I don't know what it is, but I hated to hear that, so... man, we sure appreciate you taking the time here to join us today, and you know, we just want to congratulate you again on your run.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate y'all giving me the chance to come on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Basham, you got any closing thoughts here for Mr. Braxton?
Always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Braxton and Mr. Vic. We won't go into details, but Mr. Vic definitely helped me out in a big way, and top-notch guy, and always a pleasure to see Mr. Braxton definitely raised right, as respectful as a young man as you'd ever hope to meet. And that's in the woods and out of the woods, and definitely a pleasure to call you a friend. And congratulations on your big win, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I dang sure appreciate it.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, I think we're getting ready to sign off here. Once again, just thanks to Braxton for joining us here on the Semper Dawgin Podcast. And thank you to you guys for bearing with us while Basham and I navigate through this crazy thing called life. And, you know, we do this just to have fun. We've said it 100 times. But we sure do appreciate you guys supporting the podcast any way that you can. And we appreciate you guys listening to us. So, Basham, Braxton, if you all ain't got nothing else, I'm going to sign off here tonight.
If you need a camper, see Bryce Matthews.
That's right, RVDynasty.com. We can get you hooked up.
Wait a minute. I think we need a little singing jingle from Bryce.
No, I ain't got one of them. Nope. Give me a holler. We ship them nationwide, coast to coast, north to south, east to west. You're never too far from a good deal. How you like that?
On
your doorstep.
We can. $2.85 a loaded mile. That's the delivery fee. So, all right, guys. Hey, we're going to sign off here. So, once again, thanks for listening to the Semper Dawgin Podcast. Thanks again to Braxton for joining us. Basham, it's always a pleasure, brother. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
All right. Thank you, boys.
Yeah, take it easy.
See ya.